All right. If you would, let's go ahead and take our Bibles. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Yes, as Pastor said, I was really sweating. I thought, oh my, this might be the first time I may have to preach something completely by memory. That didn't happen. The only other time something similar like that happened was when I was in Africa once, and a guy and I had Bibles that looked exactly the same. And so before we left, he was going to go to one church to preach. I was going to go to another church to preach. And before, several hours before, I was, you know, I said, okay, this is the message I'm going to do. And I had others I was choosing from and asking the Lord what he wanted me to preach on. And then when it came time for me to leave, he left before me. I went to pick my Bible up. It's not my Bible. Outline's gone. And in my mind, it was like the Lord was saying, no, that's not the message you're going to preach tonight. So we did something different. So, all right, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start at verse 1 here. That gets us back in the context of where we are. Is this too loud? Is this too close? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's go ahead and pray as we begin tonight. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to look at this passage in depth, Lord, over these weeks and over the last few weeks. And we thank you, Lord, for those that have gone before, those who have run the race before us. And now, Lord, that as we look into your word, Lord, they're literally in the stands. They cheer us on, Lord, to run the race with patience, to be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. Lord, because faithful is he who calleth you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to look at Noah tonight and pray that you would work in our hearts as we see, Lord, how he heard your word, how he moved with reverence, how, Lord, he prepared. Lord, we ask now again for you to meet with us through your word. Lord, strengthen our faith just like you did Noah's through your word. So these things we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As some of you, when you came in tonight, you probably walked in the door and you saw this. And maybe you got a little bit concerned. Somebody said as they were walking in, they saw my son Trey. He has a little Davy Crockett outfit he's got on. And someone said that they didn't know who to be more concerned about, Trey coming in with his Davy Crockett or me walking in with this. So, what I want to do, first of all, just to begin, because I know we have a wide range of ages here, okay? I want to get all those of you young people who go with us, either you were in kids' prayer last year or you go over with us in prayer over here to the side. Where are you at? I want you to come up. Come on. I want you to come up. Don't worry, I don't bite hard, okay? All right. Because as you adults know, when you come and you sit in adult service, it is so hard. You have to sit for the whole time and you don't get the, you know, it's all for the adults, okay? All right. Come right up here. Good. So what I need, Christopher, I'm going to give this to you. Don't drop it. Okay? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Good. You got to promise me if I give you these, you're going to hold these up, okay, when I tell you to. All right? You get that. Let's see. Is it elephant? We lost one of our elephants. These come from our own personal collection at home. So I was asking Kara, gather me all the Noah's Ark stuff, you know, before you for church tonight. All right. You get those. All right. You want to hold a few more? There you go. Oh, you only got one? I hear you. You hold that. Are you? Can you hold two? There you go. Oh, Kara doesn't have any? Oh, I thought Kara. If I didn't give Kara anything, I'd hear about it when I got home tonight. She said, I got all that stuff. Can you let me hold anything? All right. I think I got most of the duplicates of the animals out. All right. Now, when you think of Noah, as Noah comes to your mind, in a lot of cases, what is it that you think of, or how do you see him portrayed? As you look at it, now you're going to hold these up nice and high. There you go. All right. As we look at this, for some of you, okay, for some of you, you know, you've had this in your home, okay? Oh, no, you got it. Make sure Noah stands up. There you go. There we go. All right, and for you, okay, maybe at first thought you think, well, this is the first thing I think of when I think of Noah, okay? I think of the little people set, and I think of all the animals and things like that. Or, aren't you ready for our slides? I have some slides too. Okay, maybe for you, maybe again, this is what you think of when you think of Noah. And again, I'm not going to condemn anybody for doing that. You know, maybe we've seen like wallpaper or baby wallpaper or sheets or blankets or pillows or things like that. And Noah, you know, Noah is just portrayed as a happy little man, happy little old man in a boat with a bunch of animals floating along in the water. All right? Young people, if your arms are tired, you can bring them down now. Okay? Now, maybe for you, maybe this is what Noah represents to you. Art, can I have the next slide? Okay. Or, Art, let's have the next one. Maybe this is what Noah represents to you. It's an archaeological site, or it's some sort of, dare we say, religious relic that needs to be found and needs to be discovered, because if we can find that, we can conclusively prove, yes, there was an ark that had all these animals, had these people, and it went through this worldwide flood. Or, maybe for some of you, a little more recent, maybe this is what Noah is. Next one, Art. You got the next one, Art? Oh, there. Okay. Maybe this is what Noah represents to you. This movie blockbuster that came out in March and, you know, starred these movie stars, and the idea was, you know, it was going to, you know, tell the story of Noah. Now, if you did any research on it, it wasn't really entirely accurate to what the biblical account gives. Now, I've not personally seen it. I've heard the depiction of the actual flood happening is quite spectacular and quite disastrous. I might be interested to see that just to see how they portray that part. But maybe for you, this is what Noah is. All right, thank you. You can put those things down. Now, young people, if you pay attention and listen, I'll have one more thing for you to do toward the end of the message. Okay? So you can go back to your seats. So pay attention. But again, okay, Art, thank you. So again, for all of us and for a lot of people, Noah gets represented in all these different ways. Cute little man on a boat, archaeological relic that needs to be found, a movie blockbuster portrayal. But again, if that's where we limit Noah to see Noah just simply in these ways, it misses the divine nature. And it misses the whole point of why God used this man, what purpose he used him for, and then how that applies to us, how we can look back at what happened with him and how it applies to us for the future. What I want us to see as we look here at Hebrews 11:7 tonight is that Noah was a faithful preparer for God's righteous judgment Noah was a faithful preparer for God's righteous judgment. When you look at the ark and you look at the flood, that's what it was about. It was about God judging the world for sin. It wasn't about a cute little man on a boat with a bunch, you know, having a fun time with a traveling zoo. Okay? It was about God's righteous judgment upon the world for sin. And then how it says how he saved 8 people. And then that ark then is a picture of the salvation that he offers to all of us. And then as we look in the future, we look, you know, further on in the New Testament, God says, I will judge the world again. The second time I judge it, I'm not going to judge it by water because that's what the rainbow symbolizes, or what the rainbow indicates to us. I'm going to judge it by fire. So again, Noah was a faithful preparer for God's righteous judgment. And then God calls us, as we look in this verse, God calls upon us to follow his example and do the same. So again, that's where we're headed in the time that we have here tonight. Now, let's take a look back real quick. I always find it helpful. You know, I always like to understand, okay, where have I been? Where am I going? You know, what's the context of what we're looking at? So over the last 2 weeks, Pastor and Pastor Micah have led us in these first 6 verses. Where have we been so far? Okay, where have we been so far? Again, in Hebrews chapter 10, again, Pastor pointed out to us, it's a call, it's an appeal, it's an exhortation to enduring faith. And if you look especially at verses 32 and 39, it leads us into chapter 11. That call, that appeal, exhortation to enduring faith. Chapter 11, it's these examples of enduring faith. Okay, these examples of enduring faith. Chapter 12, then it moves on, then it's apply it. Apply it. Now, what I have taught you about, and what I've tried to encourage you with about living faith, having this enduring faith, I've given you examples. Now, you put that into practice in your own life. Okay? Then Pastor also pointed out there was a purpose. There was a purpose to this. It was to encourage us through the example of others to live lives of enduring faith. To encourage us to, through the example of others, to live lives of enduring faith. Then Pastor also talked about portraits. You guys remember the illustration of the portraits? You remember that? Nobody. No. Yeah, I'm sure you do. He said that there were portraits that he and other sailors had seen of these other sailors who had gone before and done these and performed these heroic acts in the line of duty. And they could look at these portraits and be encouraged to do the same. That's what Hebrews 11 gives us. It's an Old Testament gallery of saints, which inspires us and challenges us to live lives of enduring faith. As you look at those first 3 verses here, the point of the passage is that the promises of the unseen God are more real than the seen world. The promises of the unseen God are more real than the things that we see in the seen world. And the idea is, I read this in a commentary this afternoon on this passage, faith is not trust in the unknown. Faith is not trust in the unknown. It is trust in the unseen. That's key. Faith, it's not like we're just wandering off into the darkness somewhere as believers in Christ, not knowing who's in control, not knowing what the plan is, you know, not knowing that he has a plan. It's not faith in the unknown. It's faith in the unseen. And that's where the Bible says, operate on faith. You can't see it, but operate on faith. And look at what God has done in the past with all these other saints and live that out for your own lives here in the future. Then Pastor Micah looked at verses 4 and 5 last week. And I kind of summed this up as contrasts and extremes. Contrasts and extremes. He did Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. A man whose works were supported by a heart of faith. And then Cain, a man who just simply did the works apart from a heart of faith. And then he had Enoch. So here you got Cain and Abel, okay? Someone who did the works with a heart of faith, that confident, unwavering relationship of trust in God. And then Abel, someone who was on the other extreme, just went through the motions. And then you get to Enoch, a man whose heart of faith, that confident, unwavering trust in God, that relationship with him, was of such degree, and I like how Pastor Micah said it when he said this last week, it was of such a degree, they had such a relationship and such fellowship, that it was like God was saying, you know what, Enoch, I want to spend more time with you. Why don't you come to my place? Come up to my place. Now that's not to be frivolous or anything, but I think that communicates. God says, We've had such a great relationship here with you on earth. I want you now to come and be with me. And it says that he was translated again, and he had that relationship with him. But then verse number six, Pastor Micah finished it up with this last week. A confident and unwavering trust, or a faith in God, a faith, is absolutely vital to a relationship with God. You can't have a relationship with God without it. There has to be that confident, unwavering trust. Now, that leads us here into Noah. What about Noah? Where it says, by faith, Noah, being by or through faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I'm just going to point out four quick things tonight here from Noah and how it applies to our lives. First of all, I want to start with the word Noah, with the man Noah himself. Who was Noah? In order to get, because as you look at these verses, as one preacher said about Hebrews 11, they're just really little snippets of these people, and the idea is that this book was written to, it was written to who? Hebrews, Jews, people who would know these stories. So as the author wrote this section, he didn't feel the necessity to have to go through all the details or retell all the stories, because the idea was these were Hebrews who would know these stories. And so he said, as we go through these portraits, as we go through this gallery of Old Testament saints, these examples of faith, it's just going to be sufficient to say, here, let me remind you of Cain. Let me remind you of Abel. Let me remind you of Noah. Let me remind you of Abraham, and so on and so forth. And so really, to get a fuller picture of Noah, let's go back to Genesis chapter 6, where he's first introduced. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read this chapter real quick, so hang with me. I'm going to ask you a question here in just a second about Noah. And what I want you to focus on is, what does this say about him and just really his everyday life, who he was as a person? Okay? It says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and that they took to them wives of all they which they choose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man in the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shalt thou come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. All right, so as we look at Genesis chapter 6, again, just looking at the man Noah himself, tell me some things. What, if you were to say, what can you learn about Noah the man as you look at chapter 6? Some things about his life. Okay, Bunny. Okay, he was obedient. What else? Okay, hardworking. Found grace in the eyes of God. Okay, right there. Understanding. Okay. Think even, I hate to say it, think even more surface. Because now you're starting to kind of dig a little deep, but think even more surface than that. Right there. Okay. Okay. Right there. He was what? Okay, good. Let me think about this. How about his family life? Trey, way in the back. Trusted, okay. How about his family life? What was his family life like? Come on, work with me. Okay, we'll go this route. He had a wife. Okay, like I said, go more surface. Don't go. Go more surface. He had a wife. Okay, thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it. All right. Okay, and he had what? He had children, and then in addition to his children, he had what? Daughters-in-laws. Okay. Now, Bunny said he was hardworking. Think of the monumental task that God called him to do. Is it possible that God would have endowed him with special ability and power to do this? Yes. But I think I want to go more of the route. If you look at the Old Testament when the Old Testament tabernacle was being built, God chose particular men who were skilled in particular things to work on particular things for the tabernacle. Weavers, woodworkers, iron workers, you know, metal workers. So I want to go there, you know. If you look at Noah, and you look at, again, the hardworking task he did, the monumental task that he did, he probably was skilled in what? Think of some things that he might have been skilled in. That is exactly what I thought of, was project management. He had to organize, you know. I don't know if he had other work. The Bible doesn't say it. The Bible says it was just him and his sons. But he had to be able to, you know, God... I don't know how God did it. If God dropped in the blueprints, here's what you got. Okay? Noah had, okay, how am I going to get all this done? Okay? I don't think God necessarily held him by the hand every day. You know, okay, Noah had to be project management. What else? He also had to be skilled in what? Carpentry. He was skilled with wood. And he took that wood and he did what with it? He what? He built. He had to be skilled in construction. Okay? And then also, I was thinking this might be a little harder to think of, he had to be skilled in engineering. Putting all this together. Pastor, appreciate that. Okay? So here you have a man who is a married man, he's got three sons, he's got three daughters-in-law, and then he's also a man who is skilled in woodworking, in construction, in project management, in engineering. Now, I could probably find people in here, men in here, that I could probably say the same thing of you. And again, the other thing I wanted to point out, people point out, he was a godly man. He trusted God. He obeyed God. And again, I could probably pick men out of this church and say, if I could probably find a couple men and say, they're godly men, they follow God, they trust God, they're skilled in a particular way, they're either skilled in engineering, or they're skilled in construction, or they're skilled in project management. They have children. They have daughters-in-laws or sons-in-laws. So my point in bringing that up is this: that Noah was someone just like us. Noah was someone just like us. Just like you. Someone who loves God, who wants to serve God, and you have skills and talents and abilities, and you have family, and you have different relationships. A lot of times we take these, and again, they're given a particular status in Scripture for a reason. They're held up to us as examples. If you look at Romans chapter 15, we won't turn there right at the moment, but if you look at like Romans chapter 15, verse 4, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says, in the Old Testament, we find examples. We find examples that we are to learn from. So God puts these people in these positions of example for a reason. Good examples, bad examples. But the idea is, these were men and women just like you. So my point is, with the first one here is, God asked Noah to prepare. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. God asked Noah to be someone who was going to prepare for his righteous judgment. You don't need to be someone special to be one of God's preparers. You don't need to sit on the sidelines and go, there's nothing I can do. God can't use me. God's not going to be able to work through me. You don't need to be someone special to be a preparer just like Noah. Just like Noah. At our kids' elementary school, where they're at, there's a secretary that's there, and at her desk, she has all this Minnesota Vikings stuff. You know, I don't know, banner and what. And then she has like a couple of Minnesota Vikings cards on her desk. So I thought, she's probably a Minnesota Vikings fan. You know, whatever. Oh no, Teresa and I got talking to her, and the idea is her son-in-law plays for the Vikings. Wow, isn't that cool? So she's very proud of him and talks about it and stuff like this. And she said that on his days off, one of the things that he likes to do, he just likes to basically just sit around and hang out with the family. And her idea is just like any one of us, just like a regular guy. And you might think, oh, an NFL player, wow, when they got their days, they got all this cash and whatever, and they have, you know, you mean they just want to sit around at home and be with their family? Yeah, this guy does. And her point wasn't saying that. You know, he's just a regular guy, just like any of us. Now, if we look at him, he's probably, 6'5 and 240 or whatever, you know. But the idea is, you could go up and shake his hand. He's just a regular, average individual. Just happens to play for the Vikings. And again, the idea here, again, going back to Noah, God wants us to follow his example. God wants us to be a preparer for, again, the coming judgment. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. But remember, you don't need to be a special believer or be in a special category to do that. Any one of us can follow in Noah's example with God's help. Well, let's look at the second thing. Go back to the beginning of the verse in Hebrews chapter 11. It then says, through faith, the very beginning of the verse, by or through faith, Noah did these things. Okay? By or through faith, Noah did these things. Let me ask you a question. Where does faith come from? How do we get faith? Where does faith come from? Okay? The Word of God. And ultimately, who does it come from? Trey? No, not us. Where does faith? Oh, Bunny said the Word of God. But ultimately, again, who gives us that faith? Christopher? God. Right? Adults, the kids are beating you. All right? God. As you look here at Noah, this is a resource that comes from outside ourselves. If you look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it's in the context of salvation, but it says, by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Again, this kind of faith that we're looking at here, like with Noah, it's a resource that is outside of us. It's not something that we can muster up, commit to, determine, You know, we come down aisle, we're in our pew, and we're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have more. I'm going to have more faith. Because again, to do that, it puts all the burden for that upon who? Work with me. On who? On us. It puts all that burden upon us. And then when undoubtedly we fail, and we stumble in that faith, and we can't seem to muster it up or generate it up or somehow work it up, again, we're just in that vicious cycle. And it's all upon us. And God says, no. Don't be seeking for that inside of yourselves. Seek that from me. It's something that only I can give to you. Look real quick here. I have several verses, but I just want to look at a couple. Go real quick to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'll just probably look at just four real quick verses here on this. As you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, again, this kind of faith, it's a work that God must do for us, a resource He must give to us, a comforting, unwavering trust in Him that He must infuse us with. And it's something that we need to seek from Him. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says this: But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou shalt seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Go over again to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Look at verses 12 to 14. It says, Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now go over to the Psalms real quick. Psalm 9, look at verse 10. Psalm 9, look at verse 10. It says, And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Then go over to the book of Proverbs real quick. Chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs 8, verse 17. It says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And then the last one, go back to our original chapter, Hebrews 11. And you look at verse 6. It says, But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Again, it's something that we need to come to God and say, God, I don't have this inside of myself. You need to do this for me. I want to trust You. I want to believe You. I want to have that same faith that I see here in Hebrews 11. But it's something I cannot generate up inside myself. It's something that You need to do for me. On my kids, Lance is on a soccer team. I'm coaching a youth soccer team. It's been an interesting experience. On that soccer team, there are some kids that have what I would call the it factor, at least at this level of youth soccer. And what I mean by that is, there are some kids, I mean, they can't wait to get out on the soccer field. They want to play the game. You know, they want to work hard. They want to throw themselves into it. And I'm not saying it's just because Lance is my son. I'm amazed sometimes how that kid throws himself around the soccer field. You know, gets hit with the ball in the face, comes off the field, you know, he's got a bruise on his leg, you know, and just throws himself all over the place. And there's a kid out there, he wants to play. And I have other kids, they want to play. They're seeking that out. And then there are some other kids, you know, I think if you really ask them, say, you know, if their parents came to them and said, well, you know, do you really want to play soccer this season or not? It's up to you. I think some of those kids might be like, I could leave it, I could take it. And so these are some of the kids who come out and they don't try as hard as they should, or maybe they come out and, you know, they don't really want to bang with the other kids when they're playing soccer. They run up and they're like, you know. And for them, soccer, I could take it, I could leave it. But then there are some, this is what they want to do. This is what they want to do. Now I ask you, transfer that to our spiritual lives. As God looks at you, and God looks at you on the soccer field of life, on the soccer field of your spiritual life, does He say, there is someone who is seeking me? There is someone who wants, again, that bigger faith with me, who wants those bigger opportunities with me, who is seeking me diligently, who is seeking me early, who wants to have that relationship with me. And again, it's not something, again, that we can generate and muster up inside ourselves. It's something that God does for us. But we need to be seeking that from Him. We seek that from Him. So number one, you don't need to be someone special to be a faithful preparer. Number two, you need to ask God to do a work in your heart to be that faithful preparer like Noah. But number three, let's look at Hebrews 11 again. Finish up here quickly. Number three, you need to faithfully prepare yourself first before you can faithfully prepare others. You need to faithfully prepare yourself first before you can faithfully prepare others. It says here in verse 7, by faith, Noah, and I'm going to cut a large swath here because of the sake of time. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Okay. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that this was the first time that God had given a test to Noah in his faith? Do you think this was the first time that God sought to grow Noah's faith? Yes or no? How many say yes? How many say no? All right, good. I think as we look at Noah and we look at biblically, what does the Bible say biblically about faithfulness and about opportunities? Someone tell me, what does the Bible say biblically about faithfulness and opportunities? All right. The Bible tells us that God all along the way will be giving us tests of our faith. And the idea is, be faithful with this test, and I'll give you a larger test, larger responsibilities. I don't think that God just showed up on this day of Noah's life and said, all right, you know, here's the first test Noah's going to get. Noah, wham, build an ark. I'm going to destroy the world. I don't think it's how God did it. I think God, again, and biblically, with a verse, Luke 16:10, God brought Noah up to this point. And as Noah, as it says in Genesis 6, he walked with God. And God gave him, you know, bigger test after bigger test after bigger test after bigger test. Finally it came, Noah, I need you to do this. And Noah said, yes, Lord, I will do that. Yes, Lord, I will do that. And it says when Noah did that, it says that he moved with fear. When he moved with fear, it wasn't like I think there's a certain degree where there is a healthy sense of fear, again, of what God can do, what He is able to do. And again, in this instance, God, no, I'm going to destroy the world. But again, the idea being is, Noah moved with reverence, reverential fear. The holy God of all the universe says he's going to do this. I believe him. I'm going to move. I'm going to prepare. Noah was a man who at this time of the Genesis flood, and I'll put it in these terms, at this time of the Genesis flood, he was in the Super Bowl of his spiritual walk. He was in the Super Bowl of his spiritual walk. God brought him to this point, said, all right, Noah, here's the biggest test I've given you so far. And Noah said, yes, Lord, I will do that. So again, you don't need to be someone special to be a faithful preparer for God. You need to ask God to do a work in you to be that faithful preparer for Him. And you need to prepare yourself first before you can prepare others. But then last, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. But then there are three things that resulted. To the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Three people here, or three groups of people that were impacted. Noah's family. Noah's family. His most important priority. His most important priority. And, as the Bible says, and the only people that he could take with him. As I thought of this, you know, you contrast that to Lot. When Lot had to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. He was able to bring his wife, but his wife eventually turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. He was able to bring his daughters-in-laws. He's able to bring his daughters, but then as we see later on, his daughters committed sin with him. His sons-in-laws, he came and tried to warn them, and they mocked him. So for Noah, he brought his family. He impacted his family. He impacted the world around him. And he also impacted himself. It says he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, I've got to finish up with this here. Where are my young people again? What? I told you I'd bring you back up. Now, you guys get to participate in this as well. Everybody who's here, I need you to hold up your hands. Okay? Young people, hold up your hands. Okay? You guys know how to snap? You can do this? Okay, good. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to think of this with Noah and the ark. First of all, after Noah, it says, I think in the book of 2 Peter, he preached righteousness to those who were around him, warning them of the coming judgment. No one listened. And it says only eight people were saved in the ark. Noah, his wife, his sons, and his sons and daughters, and his daughters-in-law. And then eventually Noah was led into the ark along with the animals, and then it says God shut the door. And then eventually, everybody here, young people, everybody snap your fingers. The drops of rain started to fall. Then eventually, and so people are looking up, that's interesting. Then eventually, take your hands and go like this. Heart. Says that the rain started to fall. Now, do this. Then, in addition to the rain falling, you got to use your feet now, started going like this. Come on. Come on, you people out in the fuse, come on. Okay? All right? And then after it was... And then? You know, eventually? But there was one more thing I think Noah heard and his family heard. Not only did they hear the rain falling, not only did they hear the thunder clapping, and even as the Bible says, again, earth cracked open, water coming up from underneath. Why don't you do one more sound? Young people, this is probably the only time you'll ever get to do this. come right up here. Put your hands like this. Everybody else, put your hands over like this. You got to do this with me, it won't work. I want you to start being on your pew like this, and I want you to start going like this. Let us in! Let us in! Let us in! Let us in! Okay? All right, thank you very much. Go ahead and seat. I think one of the things that I'm sure Noah probably never forgot was probably the cry of people saying, let us in. And again, can I be for certain to say that that's what actually happened? No. But I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't. That Noah, after the Bible says 120 years working on the ark, undoubtedly preaching to the people around him, speaking to the neighbors around him who thought he was crazy. What are you preparing for? Judgment is coming. The world is going to be destroyed by water. You're crazy. And then the rain started to fall. The thunder started to clap. The earth broke open. And people came running for the ark. Years ago when I was a boy, and I never forgot it, there was a movie that came out called The Search for Noah's Ark. Like some of those pictures I showed earlier. And as they portrayed that, one of the images I never, ever forgot, and I was probably about Trey's age or younger, was that sound, was that the picture of people at the door of the ark wanting to be let in. But the time of judgment has come. The time of repentance, the time of rescue was too late. Noah impacted his family, those who were around him, himself. He was a preparer for God's righteous judgment. And God holds Noah up and says, here is an example I've given to you of faith. Someone that I came to, and the whole point of this, as you look at this verse, in one commentary that I saw, it said, the whole point of this passage was, Noah, as Bunny pointed out, Noah received God's word and he acted upon it. He received God's word and he acted upon it. My question to all of you, God has given us his word. God has told us that another day of judgment is coming. Will we, through faith, the faith that we get from him, tell people in our family, tell people that are around us, prepare, for the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming, because there will be one day that it will be too late. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time just to look into your word. Lord, help us to remember as we've looked here at Noah. We don't have to be someone special, but it is a work that you need to do in our hearts, a work of faith. We need to be faithful in the smaller tests that you bring us before you bring us the big test. But Lord, use us, we pray. Give us that faith so that we can be impacted, our families can be impacted, those around us can be impacted. For the cause of Christ. So these things we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen.